And welcome back to another episode of the Blackwatch Report. I'm your host, Thornrain. With me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Pretty good. Feel like we're back on the Tuesday thing. We were supposed to do yesterday, some stuff came up. Now we're on today, and it's like we're coming back around again onto Tuesday. I think we've recorded almost every single day in the week at this point. And it's weird.
Yeah, I do think so. We've done Thursdays. I don't think we've done Fridays.
No. We've done a Saturday once or twice.
We've done Saturday interviews.
Right.
Time zones.
Wednesday stuff, too. Yeah,
Wednesdays, Thursdays for... I think we did a whole season of Thursday, like a contender season of Thursdays. Yeah. We just...
Every
set schedule.
Exactly. There's just no consistent days anymore. And it's not entirely our fault, too. It's not like we don't. Like, we always find the time, but, like, sometimes there's, like, we're not going to record right in the middle of a week of contenders or whatever, and, like, they keep changing it because, like, when Overwatch League is on, they have to put it on earlier in the week, but then when Overwatch... do that later in the week and do weekends. It's just like a whole mess, dude. So
yeah, it definitely makes scheduling tough because it's like we never know what the next season is. Like, we're coming up to the end, Gauntlet's here, and then we're starting to look forward to the beginning of 2021, and it's like, I wonder what day we're gonna start 2021 on, because we might be recording on Mondays or Tuesdays. Yeah. Like, it's tough. Real tough.
There's no way to know.
But anything fun going on with you, sir? I know you've been working on your Fallout stuff, and
yeah, I've been cranking away at the mod stuff. It's kind of slow going though, as is making a mod with people all kind of doing volunteer stuff. So that's not really cranking too fast, but it's still ongoing and stuff, which has been fun. I got Cyberpunk all preloaded, ready to go for tomorrow. So 4 o'clock my time is kickoff, and I'll be playing for, I don't know, probably a good 6 to 8 hours that day. So we'll see.
I don't know. I haven't decided if I'm going to buy it. Like, I don't know. I haven't played a single player story driven game. God, in years. Like, it's been a long time since I've just not played something online and semi competitive. It's kind of crazy. Maybe I should.
Yeah, it had been a while for me as well.
Just try it out. I mean, even. Oh no, I played Doom for a little while. Closing out the year at work, so we kind of picked up a little bit on the overtime because we closed down for like a week and a half, right around Christmas through the beginning of the year. So we're getting close to that. Just waiting for these Gauntlet matches to start up, man. Like, gonna be fun to have stuff to watch again.
Oh, yeah, I did forget to mention, I spent, like, the last, like, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks just watching so much Valorant, and then it wrapped up a couple days ago. Wrapped up Sunday with 100 Thieves, who was the team I was going for, winning, which was great. But, like, there was so much Valorant, you could literally watch, like, 18 straight hours. I mean, it was almost around the clock, too, like, because they had every different region, so you could go, like, Korea in the middle of the night and wake up, and it's EU, and then... after in the afternoon it's NA, and then they have Brazil in there too, and then they go like it's round the clock Valorant, and I'm like, it was so fun, but man, there was so much happening. I'm like, okay, can I just not watch Valorant for like a minute? And so now I'm like, I get a nice little reprieve right now, and then we can move on back to Overwatch for a little bit. We got lots of Overwatch happening next couple of days. We got what, 10 days in a row almost of EU, NA, and Korea games to cover and watch, so that'll be exciting.
Yep. I'm not going to lie. I was tuning into Valorant here and there, but I was getting like kind of worried because like, man, it's First Strike. This is their first, like, this is their big, big tournament. This is the start of it. And I look at the channel on Twitch and it's like 510 people watching, you know, 1200 people watching. And I'm like, dude, did Valorant already die? No, they just made 30 freaking Twitch channels.
They have one so many weird region. Channels. I don't understand why they did that. It's not.
I ended up catching a link to the NA, like, actual Twitch stream through the 100 Thieves stream. Because I'm like, 100 Thieves, like, commentary stream that they were co-stream that they were doing had more viewers than the Valorant stream. I'm like, there's something wrong here. And then I found the Valorant NA Esports or whatever it's called, and it had like 52,000 viewers on it. And I'm like, okay, that's a lot better.
Yeah.
I was confused for a hot second. I was like, man, that's kind of rough for Valorant. But no, they're looking like they're going pretty strong.
Yeah, they beat like 300K, I think, on the grand finals, which is pretty good. Like, it's, I think, still behind what, like, Overwatch League grand finals hit or in, like, opening weekend and stuff. But, like, it's still really good. And, like, it's literally its first big tournament, so it can only go up from here, it seems like. So, it should be exciting.
So, still not a Valorant podcast, at least not yet. We might need new content coming up. But let's roll right down into the news. News brought to you, as always, by our Patreons. Head over to patreon.com/BlackWatchReport. Become a sponsor at the $2 level, and you can cover our news for the week. So, Kyle, got one bit of scene news here, and it's happening right now.
Right meow. So it's literally live right now on Twitch.tv/Fran. It is the Fran's Overwatch Community Cup, a.k.a. the Falk. You gotta be really pronounced that properly, or else we're going to lose our kid-friendly status here on iTunes and all that sort of stuff. But iTunes. Fantastic group of people behind this.
Love it.
Monkey Bubble and Fran, and I think they have another sponsor. I think Atlanta Rain is also helping out, sponsored by Leyline. A lot of great people helping Tier 2 out. You've got Casters, Boop, Samito as one duo, Olomancer, Man of Class, and then Leg Day, Lemon Kiwi, another classic duo, as well as the desk lineup of ZP, Avast, and Hex, which is
huge.
Oh, that's a classic. Like, that's like a double class, because you get the ZP Avast previous contenders classic, and then also the ZP Hex
granddaddy
very start of the so that's happening right now. And something interesting is there are so many random teams that just got together for this. Like Sleeping On is a rush that's got Paddle Dynasty, Milky Man, Cowman, Fish Kank, Moser on it. You've got, there's another big one, On Parole, which is Dub, Nos, Mikey, False, Luke Mino, and Mudkip. You've got The Boys, which is Nomi and Guru, along with George Lyon and some other people.
Go ahead, like, and make a good round.
Good round? Oh, yeah, good round. It's Kefri and Gale Adelaide with iRemix and Chopped, which is, like, there's so crazy. Many interesting players here, yeah.
And then you have, like, Zero Hour, SMC, EU, Attack Mode, American Tornado, like the teams that you would expect coming over from contenders. And then you got these crazy, like, semi-super teams of big names. It's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait to be able to tune in and catch some of these matches. Just, you know, it's fun. It's nothing huge on the line. A couple thousand dollars and some good times. And Fran always does with Monkey Bubble. Fantastic production. I'm sure we're going to get crazy commercials and, like, cutaways to weird stats, because that's their thing over there.
It's always, like, the fake ads and stuff are, like, the best part about it, like, the funny commercials and in-between bits and stuff like that. I think that's kind of, like, the... It shows, like, the potential of where these sorts of tournaments can go. Very often, it seems like people kind of just phone it in and, like, they have some sort of formula for, okay, well, we're gonna just run the brackets, we're gonna show the brackets on the screen, and then we're gonna show a next game in 4 minute stream where people can just stand and listen to really obnoxious dubstep music. And, like, okay, there's so much potential for alternate content in those 4 minutes of getting the games together. It just takes some forethought and a good media day or two to, like, pull content to talk about, get players talking mess to each other,
fake commercials. Get, like, you could do real sponsor commercials.
I mean, you saw even, like, silly little things that they had on the Atlantic Showdown last year, where they had, like, the punching machine to see, like, which team's punched the best or whatever, or, like, they, you know, the team went, like, kayaking. It's just stuff like that. It's just, like, something to kind of get to know these players on a more personal level than just seeing them talk, you know, occasionally talk mess in game. Like, it's so much better to be able to, like, identify with these players and see them as people rather than just, like, a Soldier 76 or a Mercy or whatever in a server.
Definitely.
But jumping into roster moves, is kind of a decent amount of stuff happening. We have some Overwatch League call-ups and swaps, as well as a lot of teams kind of shifting around pre-Gauntlet. One of which is Old and Bored, which is the EU team kind of memeing on Young and Beautiful. They've dropped Danye, who's a long-term player in EU, as well as Ding and Snap.
And then over on the NA side, you got Milky Man leaving Square One. We'll get into that here just shortly. We're seeing a little bit of roster shuffles going in right before the Gauntlet starts, so be a couple switches here.
Yeah. Moving on, we have an actual full like Overwatch League call up, and that is Talon. Their tank line of Piggy and Jhongu have been signed to the Houston Outlaws. We didn't get the opportunity to watch too much Talon because they kind of underperformed in playoffs, but they have been pretty good since then.
Yep.
So hopefully they have a good performance coming up here with this team and get their chance. But Houston is looking fine this coming up season, so
gonna be interesting.
They're not gonna be, you know, top of the level really.
And then you've got LA Gladiators picking up a little bit of Korean talent. Or no. This is Australian. Oz Gaming's Australian, right? Aussie.
I don't remember. Let me look this up on Liquipedia. I cannot for the life of me.
When I glanced over,
he's Korean notes. Playing in no Oz Gaming. You're thinking there's another one. Oz Gaming is Korea. There's another okay. Like something similar in Australia though.
That I glanced over and I thought it said O2, and I'm like, that's not O2. That's Oz.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gladiators picking up Skewed coming over on the support line. We know that they moved out a little bit of their supports. Shuffled around a little bit, so Skewed coming in to fill in one of those spots alongside Moth.
You were probably thinking of Ground Zero Gaming, which is GZ in a big GZ, circle. This is OZ in a big circle. So yep. It is, yeah, that's a very
so many thing. Z's.
But yeah, I don't know if Skewed is going to play much. He's playing behind Shu, I think, at the
Flex.
At the Flex yep. spot, yeah. So he's playing second fiddle. I think in the off chance you need like a double flex and Moth also isn't like, if it's like a Zen Anna, maybe you do that.
Yeah.
But like that's a pretty, like Shu and Moth should be able to handle 98% of situations as a support duo and be like pretty top level. So he might be like kind of a paintbrushy thing.
Pull him in for those specific maps.
I don't even know if they played Paintbrush much. They kind of just had him learn from Big Goose. Like, all right, go to Dallas. Here you go. So maybe they offload him. If they give him like a pity map here and there and it looks really good, he can offload him to a struggling team who's going to pay okay money for him at least.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a bit of a weird pickup, so we'll see. Next up, we have Finzi joining Square One. Let me see if I can pull up the Square One roster right now because they have changed quite a bit. They did pick up Salieri in that spot last month, so or I guess earlier, not too long ago. But yeah, Finzi Salieri duo is back again, which is pretty good to see on Square One now. Yeah, lots of synergy back together again, so this should be pretty solid here. It was weird that they dropped Milky Man, like, not directly as soon as they picked up Salieri, but there was, like, a 6-day period which they were both there. It's kind of awkward, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's just a weird pickup, but, I mean, the tank line is going to be really solid for him.
Yeah, and then we see Dove and Dynasty joining the Uprising Academy. Sorry, guys. Bad for you,
dude.
When we get into these brackets, man, I'm going super spicy with Uprising Academy, and I feel bad for Dynasty because we've talked them up quite a bit, but I feel like this is gonna be rough form.
they might be able to finally do better than they have been. But like, there are some weird things going on in Boston that are like rumored that they're actually picking up some like pretty next level players and pulling themselves up a little bit. So like, Boston could be turning the corner. There's rumor that they're getting Faith and Valentine, which is pretty good. That's a pretty good couple of players to pick up, along with Myungbong, and like, you've got Stand One on there. Yeah. Punk should be fine. You've got IM37, Color Hex, and Valentine that you'd be able to rotate between. Like, that could upset some. I mean, they're not going to be great, but they're probably maybe not be absolute bottom with like no wins. So we'll see. But Uprising Academy as well, they're kind of looking to try to tool up a little bit, but still, like, it's looking rough for them.
Another season of Uprising Academy disappointments.
Yep.
So, just the last little bit of news here. We're going to get down into our quick play today. Or, I'm sorry, main discussion. No quick play. We didn't really have anything to cover, so we're going right into the main discussion. Gauntlet 2020 prediction bonanza. We're going to start off over on NA. How are we wanting to do this?
We could probably go real quick through our brackets and kind of just trade off, because you and I have a kind of a lot of similarities in these. Obviously round one, we'll kind of break that down, how that goes. You've got Square One and Kratos squaring off, Revival and Kara, Drifters and LFT, and then Uprising versus Dark Mode in your round one, while American Tornado, Noble, Susano, and Odyssey are all coming in on the winner's quarterfinals. So we have both, I think, LFT, Uprising Academy, Kratos, and Kara all getting knocked out at the first option. So they lose their first round, lose their losers round, and they're all out. So our losers round two is exactly the same with Revival, Square One, Dark Mode, Drifters, which is interesting. Yep. And then, let's see, winner semis, we both have American Tornado and Noble. And then Susano Odyssey. I have Odyssey and American Tornado moving on. You have the same as well.
Odyssey and American Tornado.
Where did you get Revival? Ah, you had Revival beating Square One, though, which is interesting.
Revival beating Square One. Now,
and Dark Mode beating Drifters, too.
I've got to say, this bracket was built before we had some of these most recent moves. Finzi was not on Square One.
Yeah, that's tricky.
Muma was still on Dark Mode. So I'm going to leave him, but I had a lot of faith in Dark Mode and the way that they were playing with Muma. Drifters has been kind of hit or miss recently.
Yeah.
Revival is one of those teams where it has very high peaks, very low lows.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that with Gravy and the new roster that they have, they've had a little bit more time than their last go to kind of build up some synergy and get playing together, and we know that some of those players on that team are very capable of high level play, extremely high level play. So I was putting Revival over Square One.
So
these things might change.
Weird. I don't know if we covered this before, but like, Revival has undergone a major facelift.
It's basically a new team.
Because they lost Moser Dynasty and Carrots. Aspire's loan contract ended, and Razor's loan contract ended. So, it's just Track, Chopper, McGravy, and Gig. So if they can find some great DPS layers to place in there, they should be pretty good. But like, it's going to be a bit tough for them to kind of come in with so many changes happening. I think they still maintain their coaching line of Gods and Fact Fiction, which should be hopefully a boon. And if this team performs well, we can kind of start giving Gods and Fact a bit more credit as coaches. But so far, it's been kind of rough for the two of them to kind of get things off the ground. So both of our winners finals and Grand Finals end up the same. We both have the salty run back of American Tornado versus Odyssey, both having American Tornado winning. The only difference is I have Odyssey beating Susano in the Grand Final or the Losers Finals, and you have Odyssey beating Revival in those Grand Final or the Losers Finals.
Yep.
So pretty close. I mean, there's some minor changes across, but like I think for the most part, it would be like a major upset if any one of LFT, Kara, and Kratos ended up making a deeper run, as well as in our minds, Uprising Academy, if they made a slightly deeper run, it could be interesting.
And I have a theory here, because people listening to this who paid attention to the open bracket are like, but Kratos beat Dark Mode. Yes, Kratos did beat Dark Mode to take the number one seed to have to face off against Square One. While Dark Mode losing puts them up against Uprising Academy. I'm not saying they threw, but I think
it would behoove them to have thrown.
Yeah, it would have set up a much easier start to their bracket if they were just like, yo, first place in the open bracket don't mean nothing other than us having to play Square One.
Yeah,
let's play Uprising Academy and take this L.
I think our four teams that like I feel like would be kind of maybe our three teams: American Tornado, Odyssey, Susano, and possibly Revival, depending on how they rebuild. Those are kind of the four teams that like I would be able to say is probably not an upset if they win.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these other ones, I think maybe even Square One can kind of squeak in there too. Like if Square One ends up winning this and having a good run, I don't think it's like too unheard of.
With their most recent moves, yeah, I think Square One could jump up quite a few spots here.
It seems like their DPS line is kind of on the weaker side. I mean, they have a decent support line. They've got a really good tank line. Really good
tank line.
So that could be, yeah, I could see that happening. But I think like if any like the if Kratos comes up or like Dark Mode makes a deep run or whatever, like, yeah, I feel like that'd be kind of a bit interesting to see. But overall, like overall, it seems like we kind of have this relatively agreed upon here.
So then next one.
Yeah.
We got EU going on. So let's see if I can this big enough without absolutely melting my face. It looks like we have the exact same. No, we don't. Something is different. Oh, did I copy over stuff wrong?
No. You have a different result in the fourth winner's quarters.
That is why.
So we have Oldenburg going against Dubai, and we both have Oldenburg winning that.
Yep.
We've got New Kings beating out SMC. We've got AOA beating out Young and Beautiful, and Avoided beating out OT Pog. AOA is a weird team because I think they just recently got formed, and that is a pretty big name roster of Zeke, Sana, Ken, and Sile, with LH, Cloudy, and Smex, and at the tank line, and Snapple and Anja as supports. So pretty big names on there. Should be interesting to see. But yeah, I think the one major difference is where we split off. So we all have the same winner's semis, except instead of Sheer have, Cold winning for me, you have AOA winning out there.
And you have X Oblivione. I have New Kings. That's where I was thrown off.
That's what it is, too.
Yeah, so you have X Oblivione beating New Kings and Sheer Cold beating AOA. I have the inverse, and it doesn't really matter who we put next to British Hurricane. British Hurricane's winning.
And same with Obey as well. They're coming. Yep. They're coming in at the second round. We both have a winners finals of Obey and British Hurricane. Although we actually both have X Oblivion and Sheer Cold in our losers round four. But again, I have Sheer Cold going up against X Oblivion and winning. You've got X Oblivion in the finals against Obey, where again we have the salty run back. Both, of course, have British Hurricane. at this point, it's not like
the redemption.
Yeah, it's not hyper obvious. It's not like a well, of course. I mean, British Hurricane has lost to this team in recent weeks, but I think we both just have faith that they're going to be like, okay, never again. We're not going to let that happen anymore.
We're closing out our gauntlet run or our contenders run with this roster on a high note, and then we're going to ship them all up to the Spitfire. That's my prediction here.
Yep. And then Asia is a bit different. So they are doing a group stage for the first 5 days, 4 days, 11, 12, 13, or 10, 11, 12, 13. They're doing group stages. So we have Group A with Team CC, Element Mystic, FFF, which is Fabulous First Fighting or something like that. Or let me make sure I get that right. Fabulous First Fabulous Fighter. The ordering is. Yeah, it was close. And then A Bang at the fourth spot in that group. Group B, you've got Genji, Billy Billy, Runaway, and Ground Zero. We both have similar groups here. We both have Team CC and Element Mystic at first and second for Group A, with FFF and A-Bang at the bottom two.
Yep.
We both have Gen G at the top of Group B with Billy Billy right behind them. We have Runaway going out, getting knocked out in groups, which is, I think, a bit daring. But unlike most of these other Korean teams, Mag has actually left the roster. He is not listed on this roster. It could be that he's still playing with them, but according to Liquipedia and everything else, they have replaced him with FaZe at this point in time. Same with, I think, a lot of the Element Mystic players have lost their roster, but the WGS roster still maintaining all of their players, even if they're being signed elsewhere, like Aztec and IM37, it seems like they're still playing on this roster. As well, is there's some other shenanigans afoot in A Bang is bringing in Kilo on the DPS line and Kalios in at the tank line, and that's Kilo playing with Illicit as well and Addo. So that's a pretty sick tank line. I think Jihan has played somewhere before. Oh, yeah, he was on London Spitfire for a little bit. So yeah, this is a pretty big roster with CQB and Mango Jai as well. That's pretty big. Adam is still apparently playing with Ground Zero here as well. And then you've got, it seems like Team CC is still maintaining 1987, Liege, and Gaga, at least for now.
Yeah, they did say that a lot of the talent that was picked up over there, well, from the Korean and Asian markets, were actually signed like special release to continue their run with their contenders teams.
So which we're seeing some pretty big
contenders teams now.
If you're unable to get these players into your practice facilities and scrimming with them and stuff like that, it is super beneficial to have them still playing at this top level.
Yep.
Getting experience, getting a read on metas, and just staying, you know, at that top level for a while. I think it's only beneficial. But I think let's go into our bracket here. Something to be noted is we are completely unsure of where Flag and WGS Phoenix are going to come in on this, because they were both top of their regions in China and Korea. They are getting a second round bye, but we do not know who they will be facing off, which is the challenge. So for sure, we know Team CC, if our predictions for the groups are correct, Team CC would be playing Billy Billy, and Gen G is playing Element Mystic. My guess is that you'd have China on the top half, and then, or I guess it'd be bottom half, and then Korea on the top half of our bracket, which would be, interestingly enough, you would have the Korean teams playing until winners finals against each other, and then the Chinese teams playing against each other in the winners finals, or until the winners finals. So we'd have Team CC and Billy Billy facing off, and then I think we both have Team CC winning that, playing against the winner, be it Flag or WGS. I think where things start to get a bit different is you have Element Mystic going a bit farther than WGS. I have WGS beating EM out, going to winners finals against Team CC. You have Team CC again going against Element Mystic, with WGS coming in the salty run back bottom bracket.
Yes.
To face off against Element Mystic in the finals. I have Team CC staying in the winners finals. Element Mystic getting knocked out by Flag Gaming in losers round 2. Then Flag goes up, loses to Phoenix, who loses to CC. Then I have WGS winning the salty run back against Team CC. You have Element Mystic just dominating through the upper bracket. So that is a bit different.
We both have WGS coming through the bottom bracket to do... your WGS is later than my WGS, but we're both predicting WGS to see the losers rounds. I don't know, man. Like, I've just seen Element Mystic do way too many awesome things. Like, I have faith in this roster. Let me pull it back up. I got all the rosters over here. Element Mystic, we saw them rotating in not typical starters when we watched those last couple of matches, and we predicted that it was because they would be losing people. But currently, Liquipedia has MN3, Heesang, Kellen, Attack. We know Destiny won't be there because he's moving over to Uprising Academy. Jehan, Owu, and Vigilante still on the roster. So, I can't discredit Element Mystic with only losing Destiny, even though Destiny is a huge part of that squad. We saw him do a ton of really awesome things. I think Element Mystic stick around, and they're going to do their farewell song and win out Gauntlet Asia. Because we know that this is their final series right here, man. I think they're going to go out swinging.
Yeah, I mean... Isn't this Element Mystic team the one that's all going to say? I don't think they have any players going elsewhere. Like, they did lose Damon. They lost Ansoon J. They lost MCD. They lost Choice of One. I think that they have been playing primarily with... who was it? Who were their two tanks? I thought they were playing with Attack and Kellen for...
It was Attack and Kellen.
So I think that they're keeping a relatively similar roster. I think they're just losing...
It was mostly Attack and Destiny. Was it Kellen and Destiny? And
it then was
one map we saw Attack come in.
I thought it was the opposite. But might be the opposite. I don't remember.
It was one map Kellen came in. It was like a small rotation. But now we know Destiny won't be playing, so we'll be getting the Kellen Attack duo on the tank line.
Yep. Are you getting Destiny mixed up with Dynasty? Going to Uprising Academy?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I was like, because I like looked at like, who the heck is Destiny? Where is he going? Like, Destiny is like on their Academy team.
I was thinking Dynasty. It's been a long day.
It has been a long day. Yeah, I'm pretty exhausted as well. But
so that even just reinforces my point even more that we're not going to see Destiny leaving the team. I think the Element Mystic WGS game is going to be probably one of the best matches in round 2 that we see. But I think Element Mystic takes that.
Yeah, I think the one thing for me that's super tricky on this is we haven't watched that much Chinese contenders. We've been watching three regions. To watch four equally is kind of a tall order.
Full-time job
here. Obviously for people who are like casting these particular regions, they have kind of an expertise. Like, we saw Kenobi talk about these teams quite a bit because that's who he casts. That is his specialty, more or less. I think I'm trying to not underrate these Chinese teams. People are really talking Team CC up, and so I definitely did let that be part of the reason I made the decision that I did to have them go kind of far in the bracket. It's super hard for me to know because I don't really know that many of these players. Interesting thing is you do have Crystal on Flag Gaming. I don't know how long he was there for. I think he's just on the list, but doesn't say where in particular he is. He was no longer on Guangzhou. He went to Ignite One, then Ultra Prime Academy. So he's been all over. So it's a bit weird. But yeah, we do have so many different ringers and kind of players staying on these rosters that it should still be a really high level bracket here. You're not going to see all these teams get completely hamstrung by losing their top level players.
Like we've seen in previous years going into the gauntlet, right before the gauntlet, teams get stripped and you expect them to win and they get last place. So
yeah,
it looks like we're not going to get as much of that here. To note something, looking at the schedule, in 2 days on December 10th, we're going to get to see Element Mystic versus Team CC.
That'll be pretty big.
First matchup. And then on the same day, it's going to be Runaway Gen G. But I'm looking forward to that Team CC Element Mystic match because that's going to be that's the deciding on who takes first in Group A. I think.
Yeah.
Whoever wins that one. Closing out 3-0, and then the opposite team will be the 2-1 of Group A. That's basically my prediction here.
Yeah. I think it'll be, again, an upset if, let's say, for sure, A-Bang or Ground Zero are ending up in the top half of their bracket. I don't think Runaway would be an upset if they beat out like Billy, and you had Gen G Runaway in Group B. I don't think Fabulous First Fighter is a very top level team in their roster as much as like a Team CC in Flag Gaming, but I could be wrong on that one. I would say it's maybe a bit of an upset if Element Mystic got knocked out in groups by FFF. I think that would be weird, and I think that would be considered an upset in my eyes, and I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Yeah. Just looking at Group A, I really don't see any other option other than Element Mystic Team CC at the 1 and 2, respectively.
Yeah.
It could go either way. Group B,
There's some shenanigan possibilities.
We could have some real interesting results. Not 100% sold on Ground Zero. Again, a region I haven't been able to watch.
That's a tough one.
But it's like you're going up against Runaway, Gen G, and Billy Gaming. You got a really tough bracket to even pull one win off. So going to be interesting. We're getting ready to... we're close. 2 days. And we get just a ton of gauntlet coming through. Probably going to have to look into doing like 2 weeks of gauntlet coverage.
Yeah, we'll probably end up doing like the first kind of the groups and then early brackets. And then probably covering a lot of the winners, losers, finals, and then grand finals for a lot of these rosters with how I think the week is going to be scheduled out for these teams. Do we have dates for all of these? No, we do not. At least not on Liquipedia. We might on the site, which is the tricky thing. No, they don't. They don't have the site. We just know it's going to be over like 10-ish days. Let's see. Grand finals on December 19th. So that would be, next Saturday. So we'll probably by this Sunday or Monday, depending on when we record, we'll probably have a good start of the brackets. We'll probably have Asia's groups done, which will be a big thing to talk about, but it will be nice to kind of have a break and not need to cover three full regions, full tournaments in one episode. We would die.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be almost impossible for us to pull off, like, covering the full bracket. So, yeah, being able to cover the, round one quarterfinals, and then a couple lowers in NA and EU, and then like groups in Asia. I think that's a good amount of content right there. So, looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. But don't know if there's a whole lot left to talk about right now, because really hasn't been a whole lot going on. It all starts.
I mean,
2 days, man. I keep saying it.
It's we've got like a nice little kind of tier two and a half, tier three kind of tournament happening right now with the FOCC, which is great. And if you're watching here, head on over there afterwards. We'll probably make sure to host him as well. And anyone who is watching here will just kind of lead you to there as well. And we'll be end up watching that. If we have time to cover the results, we will next episode, but it may just be Gauntlet Bonanza and
A quick shout out in the news, like, hey, congratulations, team, blah, blah, blah. You won.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But yeah, lots of stuff happening coming up soon. Should be exciting.
We're closing out the year strong on tier two, which is nice. A lot of content coming off of the Path to Pro Twitter. They're doing player spotlights, team spotlights. I saw something posted by Bren, Uncle Egg, or no, Sideshow, I'm sorry. Sideshow did a cut of something for Path to Pro. It literally just posted before we started recording. They've got a lot of stuff going on over there. Starting to see a little bit more. They're promoting it a little bit more. Hopefully 2021 is the season of tier two promotions. So, it'd be nice. Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle the Winner. That is WYNNER.
I'm over at Twitter at Thornrain. If I ever stream, it's right here at the Blackwatch Report Twitch channel. But if you are an audio listener, head over to the Twitch channel. Hit that follow button. If you have Amazon Prime, that means you have Twitch Prime. Hit that subscribe button. We are affiliates. You can subscribe for free with that Twitch Prime. If you want to help out, absolutely free. Pick your podcatcher of choice. Leave us a review. Send it in. We'll read it live on the show. Give you your shout-outs. But you can find the show on Twitter, at Blackwatch Report. No, own that report. Email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com. And follow the show right here on Twitch at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern, typically, when things aren't weird. Our intro music is an original piece by our own Mr. Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com and come and chat with all of the hosts over on Discord at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.